know it's hard work. Oh, it's hard work. Go on, George. Oh, it's hard work. This is a steep hill. Oh, dear. How are we going to get up this hill? Oh, I'm not as fit as I used to be. Lockdown's not been good for the old stomach line. Oh, here we go. Oh, the dog's coming alongside me. Oh, are we going to make it, George? Are we going to make it to the top? Even Ian Stewart's beating me up this hill and he's 10 years older than me. Now you're overtaking. What's going on? Where am I going to get some help? Ah, I really need some help. Ah, I'm going to have to take a break soon. Where's my help going to come from? I don't know. Oh, that was hard work. So where does my help come from? Oh, I know. Look, Cadbury's cream egg. Nothing better. Now that is a bit crazy, but there is a point here. The point is that the context of Psalm 121 is really important because it's a journey. It's a long and possibly dangerous, grueling journey. So the speakers in Psalm 121 are doing something that we're not allowed to do at all at the moment during lockdown, unless you happen to be one of the advisors to the Prime Minister. So they're on this long journey. And what's more, they're walking together as a large group of people. In fact, what we have here is a route marching song for a pilgrimage. You know the kind of thing. In verses 1 and 2, somebody speaks, and then someone else, probably the wider group as a kind of chorus, respond with the three stanzas, verses 3 and 4, 5 and 6, and then verses 7 and 8. The subtitle to the psalm says, A Song of Ascents. And that means that it's a song of a group of people ascending up to Jerusalem on pilgrimage. There were five major festivals in the Jewish calendar, and each one would involve the influx of pilgrims from the countryside in order to participate in the rituals and festivities based in and around the temple itself. In fact, clever people believe that this is a part of a threesome of Psalms, 120, 121 and 122. So if you have your Bible open in front of you, you'll see the progress they make through the three Psalms. Psalm 120 describes a person in great distress. He is attacked on every side. So what does he do? Well, he calls on the name of the Lord and then he sets out on pilgrimage to the place where, in Jewish thought, he would be in the presence of God. His distress motivates him to draw close to God in his temple. And Psalm 122 describes their arrival and their wonder at the sights they're seeing all around them. So look at the beginning of Psalm 122 in verse 1. I rejoiced with those who said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. And then verse 4, this is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord to praise the name of the Lord. Verse 7, may there be peace within the walls and security within your citadels. And verse 9, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. So his distress leads him to take the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He longs to be in God's presence. That's where he's going to find his peace. So he makes this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And as they go, they sing this song of mutual reassurance to one another. So as our pilgrim seeks help from the Lord, he is reassured by his fellow travellers that the Lord will watch over him and keep him until he reaches his destination. So we need to imagine this scene. They're walking along the paths that lead to Jerusalem through the valleys, and as they pass through the hill country, they look around them and there are mountains on either side. Our pilgrim in verse 1 lifts his eye up to the mountain tops and asks, where does my help come from? Now, opinions are divided as to whether they are getting close to Jerusalem, and as he looks up at the city on its hill, he is reminded of the Lord's help, or actually the mountains he is looking at might be on the way, and they are dangerous places where there are bandits lying in wait to rob them or to harm them in some way. Or perhaps the mountains contain the remnants of so-called high places where the people had worshipped and sought the help of their local gods, which might explain why in verse 2 our pilgrim reminds himself that no, my help comes from the Lord, L-O-R-D, spelt capital L, small capitals O-R-D, which in our English Bible stands for Yahweh, Israel's covenantal God, who said, you will be my people and I will be your God, as opposed to just one God among many. He is also, in verse 2, the maker of heaven and earth, which is a way of saying that he is the Lord over everything. He is the universal God who rules over the whole world and the heavens above, and there is no such thing as little local gods who rule in particular places or cultures. So where does this help come from? Help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And to that, people sing a series of responses, each one building on and intensifying its reassurance. So what reassurance does each stanza offer? Well, firstly, his help is constant. He does not sleep. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He won't slumber in a quite lazy kind of dozy way you may have been tempted to sleep in the garden this week. And he certainly won't go on and sort of fall into a deep, profound sleep. No, he will be watching over you constantly and will not let your foot slip. Secondly, his help is comprehensive. The Lord, in verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. He'll watch over you by day and by night and keep you from harm, whether from the sun's rays or from the hazards of walking in the dark. He'll be watching over you comprehensively and will not allow harm to come your way. Thirdly, his help is consistent, for now and forevermore. So in verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The Lord will watch over your life, all your coming and going, consistently, without giving up, both now and forevermore. His help is constant, comprehensive, and consistent. Unlike human help, which is often inconstant, depending on the other's convenience, partial, depending on the other's capacity, and inconsistent, depending on the other's patience and stamina. So instead of looking to the high places, the worship places of local gods, or instead of feeling nervous about what potential dangers are lurking up there in the hills, where does our pilgrim psalmists look for help? To the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And the crowd say, yes, that's a good decision. He will watch over you. No harm will come to you all of your life, now and forevermore. It's a good decision. Indeed, not only you, Mr. Pilgrim, but he watches over all Israel. He watches over you and you and you, all of his chosen nation, so that as Psalm 122 recounts, all the tribes of Israel shall go up to Jerusalem to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statutes given to the people. And at that point, we're going to take a break, sing a song, and then come back to part two in a moment.